Well, for today, we'll be continuing our series of Knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus. And it's just been so much fun to get to talk more and more about knowing Jesus, but then experiencing Jesus. It's not just an intellectual pursuit of knowing more about Jesus, but knowing him personally, like a really close friend. Like if you have a deep friend, or maybe you can think of a best friend maybe now when you grow up, the idea of just spending time together and getting to know each other and getting to hear each other and understand what they're into, understand what you're into. But this relationship's so unique because not only is it a really great friend, but it's also our Creator and our Savior and the one who died for your sins and my sins and loves us so, so much. And so if you're here exploring church online, you're just like, what's this whole thing about Jesus? So glad that you're able to join with us this far. And for those who know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, may we take at least one more step, right, into knowing Jesus a little bit more today. Because God is infinite. He's magnificent. So we can spend all eternity getting to know Jesus just a little bit more. So today's message I entitled, Finding Peace and Joy in Christ. And boy, do we need more of that in our world today. Amen? If we have to be honest, looking for peace or looking for joy, we can look for it all over the place. But I'm so excited to read this passage today because it refocuses on us where we can find joy and peace today in our Lord and Savior Jesus. So we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 4, and it's going to be verses 1, 2, 9. Philippians chapter 4, 1 to 9 will be up on the screen. And let's receive God's word today with great joy and expectation that, Lord, whether this is the first time you've heard this passage or maybe you have the whole thing memorized, that, God, we would receive afresh what you have for us today. Philippians 4, verses 1 to 9 says this, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness, or some translations be gentleness, be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word today. God, thank you that we have the opportunity just to be able to hear, to listen, and respond. And Lord, would you just guide my words, God, as I want to share your words in a way that we could grow closer to looking like Jesus together. In your name, amen. So this passage, there's a couple different parts to it, and I'm going to focus primarily on the parts of talking about joy and peace and a little bit about what our thought life is. But Paul's sharing a reminder to the church at Philippi and the Christians there that everything we do needs to be in Christ. And even when there's a little bit of disagreements going on, and I'm sure we can think of that, whether maybe this past week in person or online, our agreements that need to come together are in Christ. Amen? And he's giving an encouragement to those right off the bat. Let's make sure we're agreeing in Christ. He encourages some ladies who are helping out with furthering the gospel. I'm so glad that God's inviting all of us, not just folks up on the stage, not just people serving behind the volunteers in the back, not those just on Facebook or on YouTube. And sometimes we can think that, oh, maybe the Lord's just inviting some of us to be part of his great commission to reach everyone with the gospel. No, he's inviting all of us, men and women, young and old, to partake. And Paul's writing a thank you to these ladies who have joined in the side of, with him, sharing the gospel all over the place. It's just like, come on, what great reminders. But this morning I want to focus primarily on verses 4 down to 9 for the next couple of moments. We saw a great children's message this morning about rejoicing. And Jill, that was fantastic. I absolutely love that. But this idea of rejoicing. Now, I want to talk about joy. I think joy's right over here. Here we go. I want to talk about joy for a moment. Joy differs from happiness. And oftentimes we can think of being happy. Even this past week when I got to celebrate my wife's birthday, we're singing happy birthday, right? That's pretty normal. We think of happiness, but joy is something a whole lot different than just happiness. It can include happiness, but it's a lot deeper. Happiness is oftentimes based on circumstances. Usually a lot of people will be like, did you have a happy birthday? Because potentially you could not have a happy birthday, right? You know, maybe Jim knew how to make the right cake or not, and that could dictate how happy you are. So thankfully there's good recipes to help with that and good instruction. But we want to talk a little bit more than just happiness, but joy. Joy comes with knowing Jesus in a personal way, of spending time with him and realizing that he has saved us, that he died for us, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. That should result in great amount of joy. Joy that's not based on circumstance, but based on Christ. As we're looking at joy, do you have joy this morning? Do you know Jesus? It's interesting because we can look at joy right here and we think, I just need more joy. And we're in a pandemic. Everybody just needs joy. If you want to get more joy, then what you need is more Jesus. Joy is a byproduct of knowing Jesus. Sometimes we can try to shortcut trying to get to joy. And that's what sin comes in, right? We can try to choose a lesser version of what we think is an imitation of joy. And that can look like a lot of things. It can look like things that hopefully will help us for a moment. Maybe it's a substance. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a lot of Netflix. Maybe it's a lot of video games. Something that we're hoping that this might give me joy and fulfill an internal longing with a temporal solution. But as we know, none of that results in joy. The only joy that lasts is from knowing Jesus. There's not enough things in this world that could ever give us joy. I've shared this before, but I so like this. I got this from an Alpha course. They were just sharing some cool stories from different folks. And one of them was from the comedian Jim Carrey. And he said, I wish everyone could get everything they've ever dreamed of and hoped for and realize that's not what brings about happiness. You ever fall into the trap? I know I've done this too. If I just had a little bit more money, then maybe I'd be happy, right? If I just had a little less problems, then maybe I'd be joyful. If I was just a little bit in a better place, right? And it's as if, like, if we acquire more, we'll reach at this place of happiness or this place of knowing joy. But Paul makes it clear that we are to rejoice. And this theme is shared throughout this letter. About 16 times the word joy or rejoice is used in this little letter. It's about 4 chapters or so long. That we can have joy in Jesus. Do you have joy this morning? If so, are you rejoicing? That's like a continual act. So it's not like a one-time thing. Like if you do a happy birthday, you celebrate for one day, and then you go 365, or 364, I guess, until you get back to a birthday. The idea of rejoicing is that we would be regularly rejoicing in the Lord over and over and over and over. And Paul, to make that very clear, is like, rejoice in the Lord. And I'll say it again, rejoice. New Hope Community Church, those who are watching online, let's rejoice, amen? Let's rejoice. Let's have joy and then rejoy it again, right? Over and over and over again in Christ. Glenn said something last week. I love, he's really good with words and phrases, but he's like, Paul was in prison, right? The church was in persecution, and we're in a pandemic. So Paul's context that he's writing from, he's encouraging believers to have joy while he's in prison. Because sometimes we can make excuses. Well, I would have joy in Jesus if all my circumstances changed. But remember, that's not where we find joy. It's in knowing Jesus. Do you have joy this morning? If you want to have joy, it's as simple as drawing closer to your Lord and Savior, Jesus. It's that easy, but sometimes it can be that hard because we oftentimes fall for lesser loves than loving Jesus. Let's talk about peace for a moment. I'm going to come over here, see if our camera crew can stay with me. I'm bouncing around a little bit this morning. So let's talk about peace. Whew, could we use a little bit more peace today, right? I know I could. I'll be honest. I say this up front. I try to be as transparent as possible. that I can ease. I struggle with anxiety at times, to be honest. I can get anxious about things, anxious. And then we read a passage like this. I'll read it again. It says, do not be anxious about most things in your life, right? Do not be anxious about the small things, right? It doesn't say that. I really wish it did, because then it could get me off the hook. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Whew. That'll preach. You don't even have to do commentator on, you know, I don't have to say, but I will, you know. You don't have to say anything beyond that. Do not be anxious about anything. Are you anxious this morning? Our anxiety, my anxiety, we could use as a catalyst to propel us to spending time to know Jesus more. Paul's not saying, especially for those of you with anxiety this morning, Paul's not saying just like bury your anxiety and try to be positive. That results in really unhealthy emotional behavior and like actually physical problems and psychologically and mental. It's really bad. So Paul's not saying bury your negativity of anxiety and just try to work your way into a positive way of being peaceful. No, he's actually talking about a transaction deal with our Lord and Savior Jesus. He's like, if you're having any anxious anxiety, he's like, come and talk to your Lord and Savior Jesus. That's literally just called prayer. He's like, with prayer and supplication, that's literally giving our request to God. And there's a little caveat he puts in there, which is really interesting. He says, with thanksgiving. So if you're feeling anxious this morning, you can come to God and you can talk to him anywhere, which is what I love. Jesus is just amazing. And you can just literally lift up whatever is on your heart right now, whether it's something very, very tiny, or maybe it's a huge weight. We're talking like mega health thing, financial downfall, like whatever's going, relationship, marriage on the rocks, kids don't want to be around, whatever it is that we think's huge, just realize, just like Danny reminded us this morning, who's bigger? You or God? Who's bigger? Your problem or God? If we can start focusing our eyes on Jesus and giving him these weights, these burdens, he promises to give us peace that surpasses all understanding, that it will guard your heart and mind in Jesus. Isn't that an amazing promise? Like, God doesn't just say idle words. He doesn't just say, like, oh, I'm going to give a bunch of humans on the planet just some words so they can just have this carrot they can never attain. No, he's giving us promises. He's saying that if we decide to go to him, and instead of maybe complaining about our problems, go and actually pray about them, talk with Jesus. And I'm just talking about my life. Maybe you can relate. You ever complain a lot this last year? I know I have. Man, that's a lot of fuel I could have put into prayer. But when we give it to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the creator of heavens and stars and the universe, he's big. He can handle it. Whatever you're going through, he can handle it. He is walking with you. He's not going to leave you. He can handle it. The question is, are we going to let him handle it? Right? Are we going to submit it with supplication, with prayer, with even the optimistic focus of thanksgiving? Know that our Lord and Savior, before we even mention a word to him, knows the words completely on our tongue before we speak it. We're going to have thanksgiving that, Lord, I'm trusting that you're going to answer this prayer. I'm trusting your timetable, there will be healing. Just like this morning, we're praying for a dear sister for healing from cancer. God, we want to come with thanksgiving, Lord, that you are the healer, that you can and do still heal today. Amen? We want to come with that big weight. Cancer, anxiety, for sure. I mean, how could it not be? God, you're still bigger, and we're going to trust in you. And even when we fall and are feeble and walk down a path and maybe like, oh, I'm over it. God, would you bring us back to you? Would you help us refocus? God, would you give us the strength and the grace and the mercy to stay locked on you? If you're anxious this morning or whenever you're watching this video or this live stream, I would encourage you, spend time with Jesus. Get to know him a little bit more. Once again, peace. We oftentimes can just want peace without Jesus, but we only find peace by knowing Jesus. It's a byproduct, just like joy. Know Jesus, and you can know peace and the very deep sense of your heart and mind being guarded. In a moment, I'm going to be wrapping up with just our thought life, but I want to mention something about being guarded by peace. In the Greek, that word guarded is kind of like a citadel or a fortress or like however you want to say, like a castle. And they have guards that are like guarding people coming in and out. And that word guard is really, really awesome. It talks about people like in a fortress not getting into places of trouble, or in this case, anxiety, Because sometimes, how do we know? We can get ourselves into our own anxious mess. I know I can. I like to blame other people, but like that was all 100% Jim. But sometimes life can come at us, and it can cause us great anxiety, right? We didn't plan it. It was a shock. The relationship went south. The health wasn't working. The finances we thought we planned out is not happening the way we thought. Whatever it is, right? And that word guard has a double meaning of guarding both our hearts from going to places that can cause anxiety, but also things that could cause us anxiety, guarding us. Isn't God's word so awesome? That double guarding, that God wants to guard your heart and your mind with his mind-surpassing peace. As we wrap up, I want to talk about our mind focus for just a couple moments, and then we'll have a time to respond with music and with prayer. So Paul continues, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Let's just come over here for a moment. I'm going to walk over to the stage. I wish I could draw this well, but this is not me. Thank you, Jody. Let's talk about this. This is where Paul is saying our thought life should be going. And in a pandemic, let's be honest, it's really easy for thought life not to be focused on things that are true. Amen? Right? We can get lost in like theories and rumors and lies and falsehoods, things that are honorable. Is your thought life, is my thought life this past week, even today, is it honorable? Is it any excellence? Is it commendable? Worthy of praise? Is your thought life, is my thought life, is it lovely? Is it pure? Is it just? Think on things like this. And once again, because you might be thinking, well, I'm having a hard time. Like, I'm flatlining right now. Emotionally, mentally, I'm having a really difficult time. I can't just go there automatically. I'm so thankful that Paul reminded us, let's go to Jesus with our prayer requests first, right? Let's lift up. God, I'm having a hard time with my thoughts being honorable. God, when I'm on the internet, I'm not going for pure right now. Honestly, there's things I'm struggling. Lord, would you help me? We can talk to God, right? We can ask God, Lord, here's the goal. Or some translations, it will say, think within these things. Here's the boundaries of our thought life. They need to look like Jesus. And I love how Jody, she made this right here. The cross is at the center. Only when we think on Christ will we be able to have the ability to be able to have this kind of thought life, even in a pandemic. There's a world out there today that needs to see men and women who are full of the Spirit, overflowing with joy and peace, who have thoughts that look and sound and are like Christ. God wants to not just meet your needs, he wants to make you a blessing to bless your coworkers this week, your roommates, faculties on staff, your employees, those you meet in the stores. There's so many people right now who are hurting, so many people who are struggling, but they're not struggling while knowing Jesus. They're struggling without knowing the love of Christ yet. And for those who are Christ followers, imagine that. Imagine going through your challenges right now, but not being able to go to Jesus. How else would you cope, right? Be one substance or relationship or addiction or behavioral modification or next self-help book or something, but none of that would ultimately bring the healing, the joy, and the peace that we find in Jesus. As we wrap up today, we're just going to close in prayer before we have a time of just responding in praise and worship. And let's take a moment to listen to our Heavenly Father. And just, God, would you speak to us? Just one word from the Lord can change everything. One whisper through the Holy Spirit to say, I am with you. We can rejoice in the Lord because he says he is near, or the Lord is at hand. He's not far. He's a lot closer. Sometimes we think our circumstances are clouding out, the sun shining from Christ himself. If you know Christ, he's within you. If you're in the valley, he's walking beside you. If you can't walk, he's carrying you. If you could see that today and hear that and know Jesus, there is hope for today. There's hope for tomorrow. If some of you are thinking, I don't want to wake up tomorrow, know that there is hope. You are loved by God himself. He created you on purpose for a purpose. And if you can realize that, God, I want to start afresh today. God, I want to start afresh and newly with you, God. Lord, I want to know you. I want joy and peace and hope and gladness and love and self-control and gentleness and purity. And God, I want all this. I just want you, Lord. I know we're messy. We're people, right? Jesus loves hugging messy people, right? He loves restoring broken relationships. He loves seeing those who are spiritually dead made alive. Let's take a moment to pray, and then we'll respond in praise and worship. Heavenly Father, as we're tablets and in front of our TVs, watching this on a DV, however we're here, God, Lord, I'm believing the Holy Spirit, you're going to minister to us right now if you haven't already. God, if we found joy in anything else besides you, forgive us, Lord. God, if we've been trying to handle stressors on our own, forgive us, God. Give us grace and mercy to trust you, Lord. God, if our complaining life has outpaced our prayer life, forgive us, Jesus. And Lord, if we've only looked at our own lives this week and have yet to see the hurting people around us, God, would you open our eyes to others around us, God, that have yet to experience the love, the joy, and the peace, Lord. Fear is contagious, God, but so is joy. So is peace. God, I pray that we would be followers who would be marked by your joy and peace this way, this week, as we press into knowing you more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.